So she likes our church. I mean, she would like it here too, but I release her to do what. Amen. Well, I know I was here,
A month ago.
Thank you, Luann. Yeah. And I went home and I thought, did I really fulfill what Mike and Scott had in their heart for prayer? So I wrestled with that because I shared a lot of my story, my background, some scriptures. So I humbled myself and I went to Scott. I said, you know, I think there might be part two to this message. So thank you for coming out again. Appreciate that. So, all right. Good spirit here. You can feel stuff. Thank you. Thank you for being a wonderful little church, a big church. Amen. A big church. Because you're blessing people. So appreciate that. All right. Luke 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. If you can find Mark, you can find Luke. If you can't find Matthew and Mark, we'll just go to Luke. Okay. Very, very powerful. This is what Jesus. I'm going to get some water. Thank you. Thanks, Justin. This is dangerous. You give me both free hands? Wow.
That's always nice.
Yeah, Martin. Yeah, it is. Okay. It came to pass as he was praying, not preaching, not casting out devils, as he was praying, Luke 11, 1, in a certain place. When he stopped praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. There was something about his intimacy with the Father, his oneness with his Father, who he loved, he still loves. I wouldn't say intrigued, but there was something that they wanted to know. So they said, teach us. Teach us. I think that should be our request every day. I don't know about you. I'm not quite as old as Barry and Colleen, but I'll catch up. No, I won't. But I love the Haldemans. But you know, at this age, 73, almost 74, I think I'm probably more aware of what I don't know than, yeah, you know what I mean. It's like, wow, where have I been? Where have I been? And yet I'm thankful. We're so thankful what God has taught us. Isn't it true? So we're very thankful that God will teach us always because we ask him. Okay, so what's he going to do? He's going to teach him on prayer. The next 13 verses or so, he's going to answer their requests. So are you ready to go with me, with God? When you pray, I'm going to pull up my little notes here. I have written this down so we can go with it. When you pray, say, our Father, relationship. Everything starts with relationship, everything. Amen? He's our, not mine, our corporate body of Christ, our Father. That means we are his children. That means we are sons and daughters of the Father. Amen? That's how you start, relationship. Okay, which art in heaven? That's his home. He owns the universe. Everything is his. But God has established a throne. He lives on his throne. Jesus as the right hand of the Father in heaven. A literal throne. Angels, living creatures, cherubims, the redeemed, saints. It's a beautiful place. It's holy. It's righteous. God is perfect. He lives there. He's building a city right now. He's building a city halfway across the United States, 1,500 miles wide, high, and wide, cube, for you. Plenty of room. Plenty of room. Which art in heaven. Holy or hallowed be your name. You come to God with a respect, honor. He's holy. He's to be hallowed. Not in religion, but in relationship. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, anticipation. What's this all about? The kingdom in Mannheim, in Pennsylvania, in your business, and you're biking, whatever. It's the kingdom of God. That's anticipation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's submission, humility. Where? As it is in heaven, so in earth. That's not just Mannheim, folks. That's not just Pennsylvania. That's not just U.S. That's China, Asia. That's the earth. So God doesn't think small. Earth is mine. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Where's my place of rest? Didn't I make everything? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Okay. So we have this. Then we need God day by day. I don't know about you, but I do. So give us day by day what you need, our daily food, our daily bread, our daily protection, our revelation, whatever. He's our Father day by day, our daily bread. Here is a good one. Forgive us. By the way, sister, what's your name?
Joanne.
Good job. You did very well, sister. Very, I honor you for the great encouraging words. Thank you. Forgive us our sins. You know, you find some people, they don't think they need forgiveness because they think they're okay. I don't do this. I don't do that. Dangerous. Whew. Wow. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Or, you know, it may be a different translation. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, from the devil. You put D in front of evil, you have the devil. He's your personal enemy, doesn't like anything about God. He even hates the sinners that serve him. Do you know that? The sad part is when they, if they don't make it to heaven with Jesus, he will have tricked them. He will have done his job and deceived them. Because there's no mercy and love in Satan's heart. Never. Cannot be there. He's dark. Isn't that sad? Thank God that you're here. Thank God that he called you. Thank God that we're saved. Chickies didn't save you. New Beginnings didn't save you. God did. The Father. Okay? Now, I think Matthew says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So what I did years ago, I wrote down just a little, if you just repeat that, it probably doesn't mean anything. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer. Nothing wrong with that. But let's think about it again. I'm going to review. Jesus said, okay, you asked me. Here it is. I'm going to teach you in prayer. That's what he started. So here we go. Number one, I read this. It's relationship. Everything about prayer is relationship with a God that loves you. Number two, recognition in heaven. Holiness, adoration. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, anticipation. See, this is all part of prayer. This is all part of being a man or a woman of God that stays in the spirit of prayer. You see, he's teaching them. Relationship, recognition, adoration, anticipation, consecration, thy will be done. So easy to say it, so hard to do it. Thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. Easy when you feel good, when it's going your way, but otherwise, thy will be done, thy will be done. Jesus said, thy will be done, thy will be done. This is prayer. This is prayer. Amen. In earth, universal rule of the king, the earth. Okay? As it is in heaven, conformity. Thy will be done, conform. Let the things conform on earth as they are in heaven. How can it be? I'm not sure, but it is God's will. Period. Supplication, give us. Bible talks a lot about supplication. Supplication, prayer and supplication have a lot to do with what you need. It's what I need. Legitimate needs, supplication. Supplication. It's okay to ask God for things you need to help you because you have to be healed and helped before you can heal and help other people. That's the rule of the kingdom. Heal people, heal people. I've seen it 50 years as a Christian. People who are healed can be vessels of healing. People who are broken and bitter and angry, help us, Lord. Amen. So I thought of this week. I thought, actually, for me to share or teach, if I'm not teaching or preaching who I am, what I live, your message is your life. Amen? You preach who you are. You can't help it. You can try to trick people, but you can't trick God. And one day it will show up. It will be revealed. It's a scary moment to stand before God and be a con artist. Amen? So let's be real. Okay, this day, be definite in your prayers. This day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not in the past. This day. That's a definite request. Today. Day by day. Day by day. Today. I know in your business and all of us have things that we do. Sometimes you can't wait till tomorrow. I need help right now. Amen. I need wisdom now. I need to know what to do now. Please, God, help me. You're my Father. Day by day, our daily bread. That's your necessity. Forgive us is total repentance. Total repentance. Forgive us. This is all part of what Jesus was teaching about prayer. You getting it? He's letting us know what it's like to be a kingdom man, kingdom woman. Okay, repentance. Our debts is our obligation, our debts. You're done. We're done. We're history. We're toast, whatever they say these days. I don't know. I mean, these kids come up with words I don't even know. Toast? What's it mean to be toast? I like my toast. My wife will go in the morning, do you want one piece or two pieces? My wife sometimes makes the eggs for me. I mean, I do all the dishes, I clean up, but she's a kind lady. She loves me, and she'll say, you want one piece or two piece? I said, well, one this morning, so I got toasted today. Not really. Okay, as we forgive our debtors, takes a lot of mercy and love. Takes great grace to forgive someone who's really hurt you. One of my key verses in my life, because it helps me, Matthew 5:44. I won't turn to it, but here we go. You ready? Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. It's a commandment. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's impossible in the natural. You can have willpower after willpower. But there's no way in the heart of things that you can love your enemies without God. You can't. Maybe you can. God bless you. You're my hero then. Bless those who curse you. Bless and curse not. Romans, Peter. Bless and curse not. Do good to those who hate you. Go out of your way to feed and help and bless someone who hates you. See, that's what God did. That's what God is doing. That's his nature. That's why you're here. Amen. And then pray for those who pray. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Notice pray, Matthew 5:44. You hearing it? That's how you stay free. That's the only way to stay free. Stay free. I commend your church. You may be not many, but I tell you, there's a freedom here. There's a sense of God's affirmation for you at new beginnings. Amen? A couple of reasons why. Because you're not selfish here. You're a giving church. I know you are. You really reach out to others. I know you had blessed me with an offering, Scott. Thank you. But you're outreach thinking. I mean, you really are. Thank you for that. You really look at the table back there. So thank you for, I commend you, Mike and Luann and Scott and, you know, all the. So keep it up. Keep it up. It's a good job. Where were we? Okay, not into temptation. That's protection. You got tricky demons. And you got all kinds of stuff out there. Lead us not into. You can pray it. Lord, help me. Lead me not into temptation every day. If you're human and you're a believer, you're a target. So I am sure you're tempted. Maybe the little subtle temptation. I don't know. I'm not going to go there. So lead us not into what? But deliver us from the evil or evil one. I can't overemphasize it. I'm not glorifying the devil, but he's here. Demons everywhere. They're all around. They're tricky. They're cunning. They're crafty. They're more subtle than you think. Be aware. Be on your guard. Calvin, be on my guard. Stephanie, be on my... You have to be... If you're married, you have to be in your guard. Amen? Even if you're not married, Justin, start now. Amen. Okay. But deliver us, salvation, deliverance, deliverance from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, faith, humility, and the glory, reverence, and respect forever is timelessness. And affirmation is, I believe that, Jesus. So I could stop there and go home, and that would be enough, but not near enough. So let's continue in Luke 11. Can you say amen to that? Helpful?
Yes.
You really can really see it's not like something you just repeat over and over. You got to get it. How does it start? Our Father. How does it end? Forever and ever. This thing is a long time from now. It's in my mind, can I go there? But I sometimes, because I'm getting older, I think probably more of going home than I did when I was younger. I mean, I do. It's okay. Anticipation to leave and go with my Father, to be with my Lord and Savior who I love, to be with Holy Spirit, the angels. Wow. And the redeemed. Millions and billions just worshiping God. And the living creatures, I know here I would be scared if I saw them. Woo! But when I get to heaven, wow, the four living creatures. Holy, 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 and much more. No one's going to be bored in heaven. There's going to be a lot to do. And you're going to love every second. No temptation, no devil, no pain, no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow. Revelation 21, 22. Forever gone. Thank God you're here. Thank God that he called you. Amen. Okay, here we go. Okay, intercession. This is intercession. Verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend? And go unto him at midnight and say, friend. God's your friend. Lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine in his journey. He's still in his journey, has come to me, and I don't have anything to give him. I have nothing to give him. Okay? So we have an intercessory prayer, a man or a woman of love. Somebody comes for help. They're still searching. They're still on a journey. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They're lost. So, which you shall have a friend and go into him and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in this journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. Okay, now what do we do? Okay, here we go. That's what the Bible says. He from within, verse 7, shall say, don't trouble me. This is kind of he's teaching on prayer. Jesus is still teaching on prayer. Let's get it. Don't trouble me. The door shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. Whoa. So we have a challenge right here. God the Father is a kind, you know God the Father, you know Jesus, he's a giver, but he's teaching us a principle. I love this. This verse has helped me so much over the years. It has helped me so much not to quit. I say unto you, Jesus is in red. Do you have a red Bible? Is it in red? Maybe not. Okay, Barry. Yeah, yours is in red. Whatever. Though he will not rise and give it because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Who needs the bread? The guy on a journey. The youth that come here. They don't know where they're going. They don't even know what's up. They may not even think of God. Because of his unashamed, bold, humility, confident, he keeps coming to God the Father who has it all. And he said, I'll give you as many as you need. It may take more than a day or a week or a month or a year. It may take a long time. But we're not begging God because it's not for us. It's not our need that we need. See, this is, to me, I'm just going to talk from my heart. The other night, keep me on track, Scott. I'm going to try to come back. The other night, I was in meditation, sleeping. And God and I were, I'm a light sleeper. I don't know why, but I am. Sometimes I wish I could sleep all night, but I'm a very light sleeper. So I was kind of listening, and I was thinking, wow, what do you like, Jesus? What's close to your heart? And everything is. And he quoted to me John 15. I think it's 13. I think it's John 15. He said, greater love hath no man than this. and a man lay his life down for his friends, not his enemies. I thought, not your enemies, for his friend. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I ask you. He said, I didn't call you a slave. You're not a slave. You're a son. You didn't call me. I called you, and I ordained you, John 15:16, that you should go and bring forth fruit. Your fruit shall be made. So God and I had a conversation. I said, that's it. That's it. I need to learn this. There's no greater love than this. If Luann and Mike, and he has, and they have, lay your life down. Didn't Jesus model that? He more than modeled, he did it. The principle of an intercessor, I'm just saying, I'm combining a lot of thoughts right now. Please bear with me. But the principle of an intercessor is that verse. That's your life goal. That's your passion. You will give yourself in prayer, especially prayer, to help someone else succeed. To me, that's one of the highest forms of love on the earth. Just a little side note there. Okay, here we go. He will rise and give him as many as he needs. Ask. Woohoo! Principles. Ask. Sometimes all you have to do is, this is prayer. He's still teaching on prayer. Ask. Come on. You have not because you ask not sometimes. Really? Sometimes I break stuff and I try to fix it. I go to sometimes Hostlers, sometimes Lowe's, Home Depot, whatever, Bumburgers, or Longenecker's. I don't know. I like to fix stuff. My wife's a fixer more than I am. If I have a problem, she thinks she can fix it. And, well, not 100%. It works, but a lot of times it does. Because she's smart. She's wise. She's a health coach and a massage therapist. My wife is very wise. She just knows so much. But she's a fixer, probably like you. She's a fixer. Amen? So is God. He's got an antidote. He's got what we need for everything. Ask. Just ask him. If you're not sure about asking, just seek. Seek him. You got to want him. Seek him. And knocking, this is my thinking. He's teaching on prayer. You don't have to really knock for what you need. The door's always open. This is dealing with intercessory prayer. You're knocking for somebody else that they can come through the door. Mm-hmm. So you have, I'm not the wisest person on prayer, but these are what I understand. I love this. Here we go, verse 10. It's still in red. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks, find. To him that knocks, to him that knocks, to him that knocks, it shall be open. To him, he. You have to want it. Okay. You know the principles. This is where people kind of, this is encouraging us. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Really? No. If you ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a devil, a snake, a serpent? I'm reading. If you ask for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Serpents and scorpions are demonic and they're in the dark realm. They're from Satan himself. So here we go. Are you ready to run with me in this next verse? Luke 11:13. Okay. I'm taking probably a little more time on this than I thought I would, but that's okay. Okay, he's teaching on prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples to pray. So he goes on the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Then he goes in 11:13. I pray this would sink into me again. If you, earthly fathers, then being evil, that's a tough thing to say from Jesus. If you, being earthly fathers, are selfish, and a lot of times we struggle with our stuff. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. You hearing me? Good gifts. I love my five children, my grandchildren. My wife loves them too. She's the one that gives. And I said, that's enough. No more. Every Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving and birthdays and between birthdays and mid-birthdays. And my wife's a giver. I said, okay, I mean, I believe in giving because you reap. But I think that's enough of gifts. Is this recorded? Don't give it to Stephanie. No, maybe she needs that. Because I tell her all the time, you are an amazing, I'm learning from my wife to give. I like to give certain things. I think we all have our own giving realm, you know. I like to give stuff like this. And yeah, anyway, that's enough said, right? Giving that shall be given, though, with the right heart. That's what Jesus said, but at the right heart. Okay, where were we? Okay. If you then, being evil, know how to good give gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? That I might ask him. This is my, and I think I'm right on with principle. He's still teaching on prayer, and we know, he knows, God knows, you know, we need help. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. You can really literally do nothing without the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't even be born again. You wouldn't even want to be born again. You couldn't even pray. You wouldn't want to pray. You wouldn't even be part of the family. The Holy Spirit took you and put you in a body, the body of Christ, and made you his son and daughter. You are now a friend of the Holy Spirit because he's inside of you. He helped save you. He was there in creation. He created. So come on. Holy Spirit is God. He's here. He's in this room. He's in our hearts. Sometimes we like, we got to get it, folks. We are always, always in the view of God himself. Sometimes from the inside and the outside. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, and he knows what we'd say and what we do. That's called the fear of God. Amen? That's what I call it. That's how you live, by the fear of God. Whew. Sometimes it's like, wow, sometimes I go overboard. No, I don't go overboard, but I'm like, because I'm not afraid of God. But yet I am, because I know enough of him that he can be hurt and grieved. I just did a little research in my head the other night, thinking, okay, this is not my sermon, but it'll help. The Holy Spirit can be resisted, Acts 7:51. He can be resisted. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Whew. You can be resisted. He can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 19. He can quench him, put him out. He can be lied to. Acts chapter 5, verse 5 and 11. He can be lied to. Ephesians 4:30. He can be grieved. And Matthew 12 and Mark 3 and Luke 11. This is the most scary verse. He can be blasphemed. I said blasphemed. You know what Jesus said? There's no forgiveness if you blaspheme always in this life and the life to come. That's one of the most dangerous, to tell or to say what God is doing, a devil's doing. You've got to be very careful. Whew, scary. So be very rigid in your thinking, especially with how you treat the Holy Spirit. And when you mess up and sin, you know it. If you're walking a little close, I mean, close enough to God, you're going to know it. And then you and we argue with ourselves. No, I don't want to humble myself. I'm not going to my wife. But she did, you know. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to call that person. I'm not going to, you know, we have that wrestling. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're better off than me. But so let's be very sensitive how we treat the Holy Spirit. Okay, wow. Yes, Lord. Wow. Okay, Romans 8. Very familiar to most of us, but we're going to start with, we're talking about prayer today. I ain't even telling any stories yet. Isn't that amazing? Romans 8. I'm just going to bounce off of this. Verse 22. We'll start with Romans 8, 22. We could start way back. I mean, maybe just paraphrase. There's three, I don't like to say things. There's three personalities that are groaning right now. We groan. You groan. I groan to get out of here. I groan for freedom. I groan for people to be liberated and blessed and healed and healthy and make sure they're saved. So right here, we know that, I should start with creation. The whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain until now. I mean, let's face it. The trees and the animals, in some ways, they're groaning. It wasn't ever intended this way, but they're groaning. So creation groans. Okay, verse 23, even we groan. That's what it says right there. Read your Bible. We groan within ourselves. We're waiting for the redemption of our what? Body. Woo! A mercy! Our physical body, I believe. And then we go on down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray. Notice pray. We don't know what we should pray. Pray. My topic is prayer. For as we should, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us and for others with groanings. So, check it out. The Spirit of God, in many ways, he's God, but he cooperates and groans inside of us because he knows this isn't how it's supposed to be. It was never intended for us to die and get sick and all the stuff that we go through. That was never God's intent, but he made a way. So there's a groaning. Creation groans. The Spirit groans. You groan. Okay, so I'm building a case. I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to ask God to stretch us a little bit. Okay, so verse 27. He that searches the hearts knows what is the will and the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, or Jesus, or the Spirit, or one, maketh intercession. So twice in 26 and 27, intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I hope I'm not going too fast. Intercession, 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 intercession. So verse 26, intercession for us, intercession for the saints. So I'm building a case how much we need the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to, by the grace of God, I could teach a lot. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, if you would go with me there. 1 Corinthians 14. I should keep my Bible. I could quote this, but I'm not. So, we're going to deal a little bit about praying with another language or praying in the Spirit, with the Spirit, by the Spirit. So listen to me carefully. I think this is God. When I say carefully, not like, you know, when Jesus wanted to get a point across, he'd go, verily, verily. Not one verily, two verilies. What he's saying is truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen. What I'm going to say, verily, verily, you listen carefully. I think it's 22 times in the Bible, verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily, verily. We would say, what would you say? Verily is a good word, but there's probably a more up-to-date word in the whatever. Truly, truly, come on, come on, come on! Verily, verily. Okay. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift for us for now. You don't need the gift of the Holy Spirit, or you don't need to pray in the Spirit or pray in heaven. Or maybe you'll be worshiping, but so God decided he's going to give us a gift if we want it. The gift of the Holy Spirit, because he knows, we just read, that we need help in prayer. We just read Romans 8, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14, this is I've learned this, and I'm learning it over the years, that any gift in some ways can be abused or misused. There are counterfeits. Probably for every gift of the Spirit, but there's no counterfeit for love. If I walk in faith, true humility and faith and love, I will stay free. It's when I get trapped, bitter, unforgiveness, or critical spirit, or fault finding, or whatever, is when I get in trouble, and so do you. God wants freedom, but it's not always easy. Sometimes it's work. So we got to be very careful, because it has been the gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit, have been abused and misused. I've seen it in my lifetime. But that does not negate the use. You hear me? The use. So let's read. Follow after love. Yes, yes, yes. Make sure love is your goal. The word follow is aim. Make it your goal. Desire spiritual gifts. Interesting. Make sure you walk in love. That's your goal. But desire to have the gifts of the Spirit in your life. But rather that you may prophesy. For he that, verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but unto God. Interesting. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, unknown to the speaker, does not speak to men unto God, but unto God. For no man understands him, but in the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Not to you, I mean, to you, but not to God. He that prophesies, verse 3, speaks to men to edify, exhort, and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Right there it is. Personal edification, I don't know about you, but I need it. I need to be edified. The battle, the rage, the stuff. So speaking or praying in another language edifies me. Prophecy edifies the church. Now, I'm going to do this because I think I can, because it said I would you all prophesy. So I'm going to prophesy next 30, 40 seconds or whatever, and you discern what it's like. The Lord would speak to his children at New Beginnings. I called you out of darkness. I called you from things that did not help you, but I called you into my will, into my plan, into my purpose. So since I called you, I've chosen you to go and be a blessing to many people. Start at home, start with your neighbor. Go and go and go and preach the good news to them. If some need to be encouraged, encourage them. If some need to be warned, warn them. But go anyway because I said go. I called you to be one. Continue to be united with each other, pray for each other, love each other, give to each other, and be very, very cautious that you not begin to find fault with one another, because that will not be good for this church. So as you unify and as you gather together, and as I send you out, you'll understand my principles are working inside of your heart. That's why I had you teach and learn on prayer, because prayer is the foundation, and it's the relationship that gives you the strength to go and be a blessing. So remember, always guard your heart, be diligent, say what you should say, do not extra word, do not mince word, do not even say things that would bind other people up. Keep free in your speaking, keep free in your heart. Make sure you maintain a pure heart, because that's what pleases me, says the Lord. Okay, that's like I was preaching, but I was prophesying. Now, you don't have to add big fancy, do you see any veins pop out of my neck? You don't have to be that way. So prophecy edifies. Exhorts, comforts. So in there was some edification, a little bit of warning, a little bit of like, come on, be my disciples, and comfort. Yeah, we can do it. That's prophecy. Did that edify?
What's the third one again? Edifies, exhorts.
It's right here. Right here, Colleen. Edify, exhort, and comfort, verse 3. So, okay, did that kind of help you? I mean, I hope you got a thing or two out of that, right? You remember what God said by the Spirit? Any special thing? What did he say to us? I'm opening up the mic. What did you hear there? Okay. Outreach. Okay. Cool.
Unity.
God said, come on. Let's stay unit. How about the mouth? The words. Guard your words. Okay, anything else?
Unity, then community.
Good. See that? Unity, then community. Always be unified, and then God commended you for your giving and your going, didn't he? He loves that part about this church. Right? So that edified, a little bit of exhortation to urge you to kind of pull you toward him, and a little bit of advice, discipleship, and comfort. Okay. He that prophesy edifies the church. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, because prophesy edifies the church, verse 5. Key verse of that whole chapter, even though you are 14, 12, even so, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, make sure you seek to the excellence of edifying the church. Okay, verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. You don't know what you're saying. Okay, verse 15. This is one of my life verses of my 110 200 life. This is one of them. You ready? Verse 15. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. You understand what you're saying. I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding. Is that hard to understand? You know what you're singing. You know what you're praying. You don't know what you're singing, and you don't know what you're praying in the spirit. Okay, I rarely do this, but I'm going to do it because your church is open for this. I'm going to read some things that will probably, and I could go on and on and on, and if you invite me back, fine. If you don't, that's okay. I was given this book 49 years ago by my uncle, John Ariba Hershey. They used to go to the Full Gospel Businessmen back in time. I don't know if they have Full Gospel Businessmen anymore. Probably not. So what's my time frame? It's 11. Help me out because I can do this. Okay. No time frame. We're good. Thank you, Scott. So he took me, before I knew Jesus, John Ariba Hershey, took me to a Full Gospel Businessmen's Association meeting. I was far from God, didn't know God, didn't even think of God. And he set me up. He really did. Because he thought maybe I'd get saved that night. He set me up. So we're in this Full Gospel Businessmen's, I don't even know where it was, and some things unusual. There was a couple people praying in a language that I had no clue. And I thought they were crazy. Then I heard somebody, and I go, they're really crazy. What are they singing? This is uncomfortable. I don't feel at home here because I wasn't born again. So I left there. Thanks, John. Nice try. But it didn't work. I'm not laughing. Yet I am. So one of my friends took me to, I think it was Left Behind. The Left Behind series, before I was saved. Stephanie, I think they tricked my wife too. They tried phone her girlfriends who loved her. I'd say trick. They thought, well, maybe if I go to this Left Behind, it'll scare me enough that I'll say, Jesus, take over. But it didn't work. But it did work later because God got a hold of me. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? I have a book, and I'm going to, this book was written so long ago. It was written of people who spoke in another language in the spirit, and it was understood by a person who knew that language. So here we go. I don't know the time frame, but I'm just going to skip some. I'm going to leap through here and start. And I say, God, I need help here because there's too much. Okay. I'll skip that one. Okay. I'll skip that one. Well, you know, skip that one. Oh, no. Just bear with me. Okay, here we go. Somebody was, one particular phrase that this person was praying in another language, in the spirit, in tongues, kept coming over her lips over and over and over and over again. She heard this like a syllable or two or three or four that was a language, but the person speaking did not know it. So then I waited before the Lord. I listened. I recognized the language the person speaking did not, biblical Greek. After a minute or so of prayer, the elder brought the interpretation. When you have a message in tongue, especially publicly, it should be interpreted. So this person, okay, I heard this. It sounds like Greek. What did the interpretation say? I stand by the blood of Jesus. This person was praying in another language, in Greek, and what they were declaring was the blood of Jesus. Is that okay? Okay, just stay with me. Pretty good to stand. I'll just kind of say what happened. This person, well, I'll read it. Go with me. There's a person slain in the spirit under the power of God lying on the floor when all of a sudden her hands began to form signs, like different signs. Okay. All of a sudden tears began to stream down her face and she said, Elsie, do you know what Ada is doing? I said, no. Georgia, she is preaching in sign language. Then she began to interpret it to me. Oh, it was just beautiful. She was preaching an entire sermon in sign language to somebody who couldn't hear. 2 hours. This lady was under the spirit And somebody who knew, didn't know, couldn't hear, knew sign language, was being preached to. Who are we to tell God what he cannot do? Why wasn't she healed? I don't know. Or he healed? 2 hours. That night, Christ appeared to her in a dream, and in perfect Korean sign, God led somebody to the Lord in a dream in sign language. Okay. Gave her the whole salvation story and made her understand. She got down on her knees and repeated, really repented of her sins and gave her heart to God. How's that for the grace of God? Okay. This person heard perfect Latin. Never learned Latin, never studied Latin, but was speaking in tongues in Latin. You know what she was saying? Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. Praise and glory be to God. Hail the King Jesus. Hail the King Jesus. Jesus is lifted up as Lord of lords and King of kings. I personally believe that when I'm in worship and prayer and praise and I'm speaking in my prayer language, a lot of it is exactly like that. We are just glorifying and praising God because I love him by the Spirit. Okay. All right. Ever been alone? You know what to do, what to say? Okay. This one word came forth, and the intercession was this person needed help. So she went intercession, and she was praying for herself that she would have victory. She was alone in her bedroom or bathroom, and God used her to intercede for herself and encourage herself. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I know you're looking at me like a dog in a new pan, but that's okay. Amen? This is real. Okay. Somebody interceding for somebody to be healed. If somebody's sick and really needs prayer, and you pray in English, good. Do it. Agree. In the name of Jesus, the blessing of God, the healing power, the virtue of God be upon you. But in another language, you can be interceding and making intercession for their healing also. Because you don't know what to pray sometimes. Okay? Okay, this one shook me up. Here we go. This will be deep. A certain Italian infidel, you know what an infidel is, who was very, very critical, they're around, dropped into a Pentecostal meeting. He said to his friends, I'm going to go down and see these fanatical people. They tell me they speak in tongues. I know 4 or 5 languages. I will tell you whether it's real or not. Okay. He heard the preaching and responded to an invitation to kneel. A few yards away, he went up front. A few yards away, a young girl, 12 years of age, knelt, and with hands and heart lifted up toward heaven, God began to move. This little girl broke out in a tongue, and the man was fascinated. She swept on and on, paragraph after paragraph, in the Italian language. When the prayer was over, he rose to his feet, confounded. He rushed over to the businessman and said, tell me, who is that young girl? How many languages does she know? Well, he said, she doesn't speak any except English unless the Holy Spirit gives her utterance. He went to another businessman, received the same reply. Then he went to the young girl. Do you know what you were saying? No, she said. I don't have the interpretation. He had to acknowledge. It was a, are you ready? It was a perfect picture of his life. It was all unfolded chapter after chapter. From the time he went into sin, event after event, the days, the weeks, and the months and years were gathered in one message of 45 minutes. Every word was as clear as day. Every syllable perfect. That's never happened to me, but it happened here. The young man went home, tossed in his pillow. What do you think he did? He repented because God decided to use a 12-year-old girl in a language she never understood, but that man understood every word, week after week of his life. Okay, check it out. Here's a prayer and intercession. The person was praying, I am God who loves you and keeps you and guides you. In another language, interceding for somebody else. No idea what they were saying. This one is really different, but I'm going to share it. You don't want to go home yet, do you? You're looking at me like, who are you, Cal? What are you doing?
Sharing
Here we go. This is fairly long, but I think you'll like it. I'll start right there. Okay. What's happening there was a car full of drunken Crow Indians. They were trying to start their car, but their battery was dead. How fun is that? As we offered to push them, we could see men and women sprawled all over the inside of the car. Native Americans. As we walked toward the car, one, the medicine horse, jumped from the car and came running toward us. You know, Native American. Oh, please help me, sirs. I'm going to be killed tonight. Wanda looked like someone had beaten and stripped her or hit her on her face with a bicycle chain. On being told that Jesus can save to the uttermost, she said, I know you guys can save me if you are Christians because it is Satan who's after me tonight. Then Wanda asked to be driven to her sister's home to avoid her husband, Charlie Broken Rope. He beat her up. As we bounced across the dirt hills of the Indian reservation at her direction, Tato was in constant prayer, as it seemed plain to us that the strong forces of evil were in the car. Soon even Wanda was praying and talking with Jesus. Remember, the lady was drunk. How disgusting, I thought. That would be me. I would kind of be a judge. You drunken whatever. Maybe not quite like that, but I would think it sometimes. Okay. Praise God. But as her praise to God approached drew adoration, it was clear to us that she had known Jesus at one time. Stopping outside the home of her sister, we waited for her to get out. We were anxious to continue our trip and go on our way. But Wanda asked for prayer. She asked for prayer. This God bless this Wanda. She needed help. She knew Jesus, but whatever. Okay. Frank O'Hare began to pray for her. As soon as we were praying in tongues, then he started to pray in tongues. Then he began what sounded like a strange guttural chant. I've had that. Some of my, as I'm whatever, worshiping, or it's like, what is that? That doesn't, but it's a word or a language. Okay, here we go. Frank wondered if perhaps the devil had taken hold of his tongue. This is the godly man who's, oh, don't stop, Wanda begged. You are speaking to me in Crow language, Native American. So Frank prayed again, first in English, then in tongues. And soon there came the strange sing-song language. Wanda became very alert and very happy. And amazed, Frank said, Wanda, would you mind telling me what the Lord said to you? Wanda smiled. You really don't know, do you? For 15 years, I was a Christian, served the Lord. During all those years, I went to church services alone, had to face a beating from my husband upon my return home. Finally, I gave up, and for the past year, I have not gone to church, but have simply gone along with the ways of the world. Tonight, God spoke to you. He told me he understands and is willing to take me back and use me. He said he would take me out of the mud and set my feet on the solid rock and start me with a whole new walk in Jesus. It says in Corinthians, a sign to the unbeliever. Sometimes, I'm not an evangelist, but sometimes I've been on the streets, I think it was Harrisburg or places, and I cannot, this guy, there's no way. I have no idea, and it's difficult, it's challenging. So I tried it, and I think I spoke in tongues to him in Spanish. One time my daughter, Alicia, I forget where it was, she remembers, she said, Dad, you were praying and somebody said, you're talking about heaven, aren't you? How did you know you're talking about heaven in my prayer language? Okay, it's 11:20. We'll soon go home. I think I did last. Okay, you ask, I'll give the answer. We're soon done. Well, it all comes down to hunger, and I shared last time I was here pretty much the whole story. I'm going to stay with this. I think those who were here last, Luann, you remember. Good, yeah. I'll be closing soon. Yeah. Okay, 1921. Got that. Okay, I'll go back to that one. Give me 10 minutes. No? Okay. It's quiet. It's quiet in here. Where's that one I want to... Okay, I'll just go back to the last few here. Okay. This person was worshiping, just worshiping. And most of our prayer time should be worship, praise, and thanksgiving. I don't know about you. I have a little thing I share with God, humility. I said, Lord, you know, I'm getting older, and if all I do for the rest of my life, and he knows what I said to him, if all you've asked me to do the rest of my life, not go to Philly, I'm going to Philly in 2 weeks, Pittsburgh in a month, I'll be traveling, but if all I do the rest of my life is minister to you 4 or 5, 6 hours a day, if that's all I do the rest of my life is minister to you, people would say that's a waste of time. Mary understood. She sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was too busy, but nothing wrong with Martha. And you know what? I felt a little, if God wanted me to do that, that's what I would do the rest of my life. Spend 6, 7 hours a day, because I have a lovely wife, children, and just minister to the Lord. And probably 4 hours, 5 hours a day in tongues. And I would sing to God, because it's in the Bible. We just read it. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Okay, soon done. Okay. Savior, Savior, immortal one, have mercy on us. Good thing to pray in the spirit. Intercession for the church. I heard a sentence in this language, in tongues, and this person was interceding. Build up my church. Intercession for his church. So we're praying for the body of Christ in the spirit. Build up my church. Build up my church. Build up my church. Here's another person documented. They kept repeating this phrase over and over and over and over and over and over again. I will praise him. I will praise him. See, if I stood up here the last hour, 45 minutes, and I just spoke in tongues the whole 45 minutes, I would be so blessed right now that you wouldn't. What good would it do for you? But alone, when I go home or in the morning, whenever, and I say, God, here I am. I yield my spirit, my soul, my body. I'm trying to answer your question, but I'm not. And I would begin to pray and worship. It edified me. But that prophetic word edified you. I could go on and on and on. So what's the big deal? How do we respond? Well, I did my best to humble myself and share, came back the second time. I think we had a little more verses. Could go on. We could go Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, Philippians 1, 1 Thessalonians 3. I mean, many, 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 tons of verses about prayer. Luke 18, 1 to 8. So I pray you have a hunger to want to take another step. If you don't have your prayer language, you're not bad, evil. You're not any less than I am. It's not that at all. It's about wanting to bring pleasure to God and maybe to help other people in prayer. So ask. Just sometimes ask. You got to believe. If you don't believe, you won't receive. That's the condition, faith. Amen? Hunger, humility. So now what, Mike? Let's pray. No. Yes, man, I forgot. Luke chapter 24. Somebody open your Bible. I know this is off the subject. Luke 24, verse 50. Turn there, please. I think I'm going to close with this. I know I tend to teach too long, but that's okay. Luke 24. What did Jesus do before he left the earth? This is kind of what I want to leave with you. There's so much power in blessing. If I bless you, if I spend 4 or 5 hours a day, and I did, I spent a lot of time this week praying for this church. A lot of it was praying in the spirit. I did. I sought the Lord for new beginnings. I wanted God to be glorified first, and I want you to be edified. I want you to understand a little bit more what it is, what it looks like, how it works, what Jesus said about prayer. So I thought, I'm going to do this. Luke 24, 50, I think. He led them as far as, is that right? Luke 24, 50? Okay, So here's Jesus, ready to leave. Now, what would you do if you never saw me again? What would I do? Because I loved you. I wanted the best for you. I wanted you to be blessed and healthy and strong and successful and following my heart. So Jesus led them as far as Bethany. He liked Bethany. So he took them out to Bethany. Okay? Came to pass as he led them out there. He lifted up his hands. And blessed them. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. What did he say? Let your imagination, what did he say when he blessed them? I don't know, but it worked. The power of God himself pronouncing a blessing before he leaves. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he departed and was carried up into heaven. Okay, now what? What did they do? They just received an invocation, an invoking, a blessing from God himself. That's the last time they would see Jesus. That's a dream. They worshiped him. Woohoo! And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It worked. The blessing from Jesus was working, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they were continually in the temple praising and, read your Bible, blessing God. I pray the power of that blessing would rest in this church. I'm not Jesus, of course not, but the anointing on the blessing is so strong. Listen to Carrie Job's song, The Blessing. So here we go. I'm going to take this home, but I'm going to close with this. So Numbers 6, the Lord bless you, keep you. Do you need it? New beginnings? Could you use a continuous blessing? Do you want to be kept from the devil? Satan's plans, tricks? Sure. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen? That's what he might have said. Because it's the way God said to Moses. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So any way you look at it, I put it on both sides. So any way you look at it, this way, you're blessed to be a blessing. New Beginnings is blessed to be a blessing. Amen. The greatest joy, no greater love than this, is a man lay down his life for his friends. I said enough. Let's stand. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the truth spoken in love. Thank you for the book, the words of encouragement. Savior, Savior, immortal one, have mercy on us. I stand by the blood of Jesus. Praise Almighty God. Praise Almighty God. Glory and praise to be God, to the God. Thank you for the gift that lady had to preach in sign language to lead somebody to the Lord. Thank you for the infidel who said, I'm going to check these people out. They think they're something. And God, you read his mail. He got saved because of the little 12-year-old girl, 45 minutes, just prophesying his mail. Thank you for the Crow Indian, Wanda, who responded because of the message in tongues. Wow. She became restored. So God, we so thank you for the way you do these things and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the ability to pray in another language that we don't know, to worship and praise you and to also intercede and make intercession for others. So Lord, thank you for this church. The blessing of God is on them as they continue on in their journey because of our Master and Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. You're done. Okay, thanks for staying an extra whatever. Okay. Mike, you want to say anything? Okay. All right. Justin, thank you. We didn't have time. I had a special song for you guys. No? I had a special song to close with. Stay. Come on. Put it on. I'm going to send you out with this.
Kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve.
you be willing to stay 3 minutes? If not, you can go right now. This is a powerful story. Scott, you have that seed, mustard seed? So I was praying this morning about giving something to your church. I looked at my little display of prophetic gifts, and I said, I need to bring a mustard seed, a little seed. That's all it takes. Long story short, when I was on my major prayer walk, 2014, I came home for a break, and people that would pray over me, everyone would go with Johnny Appleseed. It's like, Calvin, you are, just go and you are sower. You just sow. I said, well, that's okay. Jesus did. Some seeds sow hard, good, thorns, thistles, rocks, but sow. So I get home and we had a board meeting, and that song that Justin just played for us is in my mind. Get this. So Jim and Janet Kreider, my board members, I said, Janet, I don't even know the title, but I know. She went in and got three songbooks, an old hymn, like the brother, I don't know. One's blue, one's red, one's brown, black, I don't know, three of them. She comes out, she's kind of this way. She goes, she gives some to, I think one to my wife, one to, and one to me. So he's, Calvin, God is my witness. I opened that book. She gave me one out of three. The odds are like incredible. I opened the book without trying, bringing in the sheaves to the exact page of all three songbooks. Opened it. And needed to say, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Peter said, so keep sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and watering and watering. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. God bless you.